Anyway, we're going to preach the word, all right? You ready for the word of God? The Bible says, be ready in season and out of season to share, to preach, and to give a testimony of your reasons why you love God. And, you know, as I've shared over the last few weeks, I hope I'm stirring faith in your heart. I hope I'm stirring your ability or desire to believe God for more than what you're seeing in your life right now. Because we believe in a God of miracles. He is the God of miracles. He still does miracles. He still moves in miraculous ways. His wonders to perform. I love the fact that in any moment, at any time, in this room right now, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. We believe that, don't we? It's a biblical truth. If Jesus is in the midst of us, just like he walked through the streets of Galilee, healing all that was sick and oppressed of the enemy, I believe he's present here today to minister to our lives in signs, wonders, and miracles. He has not changed. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So therefore, I have to believe that he's the God of miracles today. And whatever you need to draw from him, he's able to perform it. Because he hasn't changed in power, he is the same. And his anointing is the same. In the last days, he said, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. My sons and my daughter, they would dream dreams. They would prophesy in my name. There would be miracles that begin to outbreak. It's going to be the former and the latter reign together, which means there's never been a time on earth like there's going to come, because there was the former rain where the Spirit of God was poured out, and there's going to become the former rain, which is where he's going to pour out again. But this time, the former and the latter rain is going to come together, and there is going to be such an outpouring of his Spirit. Are you ready? Are you ready in your heart for what God is about to do? We're going to look at a passage of scripture, and we have done over the last few weeks, that I trust will encourage faith, because we serve a city wall shaking, prodigal chasing, Lazarus raising, destiny waking, history changing, miracle making God. We sing it as a song, but do we believe it in our heart? Well, that didn't work for me the last time I prayed. And then we can give up on prayer. Or we can give up on believing. But I want to encourage, I want to stir faith. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So as I'm sharing with you this morning, as I'm sharing the word, let faith build. So over the last few weeks, we've looked at a number of areas, whether it's the feeding of the 5,000 and the supernatural increase. Little boy had 5 loaves, 2 fish. He gave them to Jesus. Jesus fed 5,000 men besides the women and children. Then we looked at the woman whose oil did not run out, and there was such an abundance left over that her and her children were able to live off it for the rest of their lives. That is supernatural increase in a person's life. Last week we looked at, thank you, Jody. Someone listened in the room. I couldn't remember myself. Last week, we looked at the fish, the multiple numbers of fish, and I showed you lots of photographs of me fishing. We won't go there again. But today, we're going to look at another incident in the Bible, another miraculous, another real-life event in the Bible, because we serve a God, or the God, who is more than enough. He is El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. See, if we're praying, Lord, meet my needs, you're praying a very selfish prayer, because God is a God of more than enough. We should be praying, Lord God, I thank you that you meet my needs and help me to be a conduit where I can be a blessing to others. What a better prayer. I want to be in the flow of God giving to me so that I can give to others. Blessed to be a blessing. That's how we should live our lives, as a conduit. Everything that comes into your life is not solely for you. It comes in, God checks, sees your heart, and then he sees what you do with his gift. If you're a conduit through which God flows, how many of you know God will look at your life and say, that person I can use? Because there is a flow of the Spirit, a flow of giving in their life. How many of you know the Lord is a healer? He's a restorer. He's a strengthener. He strengthens our life. He restores our life. He replenishes what was once stolen. He then fills again. God is an awesome God. He's above and beyond. Whatever you can think, God goes higher and beyond. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all you can ask or imagine. So if you can think big, God is beyond it, because he's bigger than any of our thoughts together. That's why we should never limit God, should never limit his ability, should never limit what you feel he could do. Just open wide the doors and say, God, you do what only you can do. And allow him to be God rather than us dictating what we think he can do. During a moment in this man's life that we're going to look at this morning, there are a number of things that I want us to see. Because in our journey, in our life, there are things that we have ups and downs, don't we? We have great moments. We have mountain moments like, yeah, I'm on top of the mountain. Everything's going great. But it's not long before you tip over the top of the mountain and you're sort of heading down the hill and you think, oh no, now what's happened? It's like the wind is blowing and there's an earthquake and oh, goodness me, I didn't expect that. That came out of the blue. But whether you're on the mountaintop or on the valley, our faith should remain steadfast. Because our lives are founded upon a rock, and the rock is Christ Jesus. And no matter what the storm may bring or what the life may throw at us, when our lives are founded on the rock, Christ Jesus, we can take every wind and every storm that comes our way because of his faithfulness. And in this moment in this man's life, this morning we're going to look at the prophet Elijah. And in Elijah's life, there are some ups and downs that come his way. One moment he's having a victory and seeing all the prophets of Baal being dealt with and being eliminated. And he's just won this incredible victory. And the fire of God has fallen. And it's like, wow, we don't want to serve anybody but the God of Elijah. And then all of a sudden, Jezebel says, I'm after you. And he runs like the wind. And he goes into a wilderness moment. He's found under a tree, crying out to God, take my life. And you look at this man and the journey of his life, and you say, goodness, this guy had great moments, and then he had some real difficult moments in his life. But God used him. And I want to say in this room, regardless of who you are or what you think about your life, God can use you. Come on, say that in your heart right now. God, you can use me. You can use me. Regardless of my journey, regardless of what I feel about me, God, you want to use my life. Because I think it's really key that we understand that you're not just a part of a church. You're not just part of being part of Christianity. You're called on purpose for a purpose because God loves you and has a reason for your life. And we just need to come in line with that plan that he has. During Elijah's life, he speaks about a drought, and he goes to Ahab, and he says to Ahab, he said, look, Ahab, you're an evil king. And that's pretty bold in it in itself. It's like, he knows he's an evil king, but he goes and says, you're an evil king, and it's not going to rain on the earth until I say so. Now, you don't want to kill the man who's just said that. if you believe he's spoken the word of God. And Elisha leaves, and there is no rain on the earth for 3.5 years. Now, we're in a bit of a drought situation. We have occasional rain at the moment, but we do have reservoirs, and they're surviving just. But if it carried on like this for 3.5 more years, we would be in a heap of trouble. And that is exactly where Israel were at, and the nations around were at this moment. For Elijah, he was doing all right. He was positioned by a brook, the brook Cherith. And in that brook, he had fresh water coming through. And also the ravens of the air came and fed him morning and evening bread and meat. Now, ravens are notoriously predatory animals, and they would not let go of food. But these ravens were commanded by God to feed the man of God. How many of you know in the last days when things get tough, those who God knows will be provided for supernaturally? That's incredible. You won't be having to go up the road to find the allotment and raid somebody else's allotment. God will provide all our needs according to his riches in glory. But eventually the brook dried up and the ravens stopped bringing the food. And he's in a position where his unshakable faith needs to trust God again. See, sometimes in our journey we think, goodness me, God, I trusted you through this and I've seen you break through, and I thank God for the end of that journey. And we think sometimes that's the end of the need for unshakable faith. And then all of a sudden we're in another moment. And then we're in another moment. And they can take on all sorts of forms and different patterns of life, but we need an unshakable faith that is not moved by our circumstances, but only moved by the word of God and our trust in him. So we're going to pick it up here in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. I want you to notice that. He's got to dwell there. It's not just a passing through moment. He's not just to visit there. He's to dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Brilliant. Elijah, in this situation, just gets up. He decides that he's going to go on this journey. What he's doing is going closer to where Ahab and Jezebel are. He's only going to be 7 miles away from them. He'd run for at least 50 miles or disappeared for 50 miles. Now he's going back towards where Jezebel was. See, God is never taken by surprise, is he? I love the fact that God is never, in our journeys, we can be suddenly taken by surprise or the windstorm came out of nowhere, but God is never taken by surprise. And very often he has got strategic people, or there's a position or something in our life that is around us at a given moment for a specific time. God is never taken by surprise. He left Brook Cherith, and Brook Cherith really is a time of, or a place of testing and separation. He was on his own. He was alone with God, and he was in this place of separation. And then he heads towards Zarephath. Zarephath actually in the Hebrew means to smelt or to melt. In some senses, the anvil place, the place where God is supernaturally doing a work of refining. And in this moment, Elijah is in this place where I believe his faith was under the refiner's fire. We always think the man of God, he has no issues, no problems, nothing comes his way. He's the man of God. No. Here, Elijah was the man of God, and yet he was taken to the place of Zarephath, a place of smelt and melt, a refining fire in his life. And then it goes on in 1 Kings 17, verse 10, it says, so he arose and went to Zarephath, a place of obedience. He walked in obedience. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called out to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, see, there was obedience as well. We've talked about faith-filled obedience. Elijah has to leave what's comfortable or what seemed comfortable to go to a place where he perhaps wasn't so comfortable. This widow woman is walking in obedience. He's placed a demand upon her, would you give me a glass of water? And she leaves to do just that. And as she's going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. Let's remember, we're in the middle of a 3.5-year drought. Things are really tough, and their water is scarce. People are dying. And the man of God turns around to this widow and says, bring me a glass of water. And there's a famine in the land. And he says, I would like you to bring me some bread. Now, if I was to do that to you, and it happened to be a famine, I think you would say, such an uncaring pastor. Doesn't he realize I'm needing this bread for me and my child? And yet, okay, let's put another scenario, okay? We're having a food Sunday next Sunday, and you've taken, Guillaume, you've taken the last can of Coke. And I say, Guillaume, I would like that can of Coke. And you've got a bowl full of chicken jollof rice. And I say, I'll have that as well. It doesn't sit very well, does it? If you all saw me do that, and Guillaume came in late for some reason, everybody else has had their food, he's got the last plate, and I go up to him and say, I'll take that off your hands, thank you very much. We would all think, what sort of a guy do you think you are? In fact, I was first in the queue, well, one of the first in the queue last time we ate, and someone said to me, how come you managed to get to the front of the queue? It's about positioning yourself, okay? It's about walking backwards, pretending you're talking to someone, and then you have to be there. Now, the reason I do it is because very often then I'm talking to lots of people, and everybody else is sitting there chilling away, eating away, and I'm chatting to people and connecting with people, and if I don't, I won't eat. Now you feel sorry for me, okay? So when you see me get food next week first, you'll realize why I'm doing it. I'm a pig. So without knowing the full story, this woman goes away. She doesn't know the end from the beginning. She's just hearing what the man of God is saying to her, and she's walking in obedience. Let's pick it up at verse 12, 1 Kings 17, verse 12. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. This is how desperate this moment is. Come on, it's not like me taking Guillaume's food. He's big and strong. He'll keep going for a few more months. But this woman is in a desperate moment. She could have thought, how dare he? Doesn't he know? If he's a man of God, shouldn't he know how desperate this is? I'm about to go and eat and die with my child. Instead of apologizing to the lady when she explains this, or saying, can I help you pick up a few more sticks that you may go and die with ease? This is quite a radical story if you read it in color. Let's read in 1 Kings 17, verse 13. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as I have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterwards make some for yourself and your son. I want you to notice something changes and there's something significant. The very thing that would have robbed her of her miracle, the man of God addressed. Do not fear. When Jairus was believing that Jesus was going to come and minister to his little girl, and then all of a sudden the woman with the issue of blood came along and Jesus stopped and healed her, and there was a great commotion, and then there was a whole bunch of people that came along and said, trouble the teacher no longer, your daughter is dead. The very first words that Jesus spoke was, do not fear. In other words, in the Greek it was, stop the fear. Because fear will stop you from receiving from God. It will stop you from getting out of your boat. It will stop you from pursuing your dreams or pursuing the purpose of God in your life. It will stop and hinder every one of us. It is what, over the years, you've probably heard it. It is one of the statements that is made for every day of the week, 365 times. It's in the Bible. Stop the fear, do not fear, fear not. And every day we should wake up and say, I will not be afraid. If God be for me, then who can be against me? And in this situation, he addresses the one thing. It wasn't agitation, it wasn't fretfulness, it wasn't hopelessness. The thing he addressed was fear. And in this room, fear. The fear of someone finding out that you're a Christian. The fear of stepping into the unknown. The fear of giving your life over to God. Fear will stop you from pursuing God in your life. I just really want to encourage you here. He addresses that one thing. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as I have said. But he changes what he said. Earlier on, he said, go and get me a morsel of bread. Now he's up the ante. Go and bake me a cake. It's like he's pushing the boat out even more. Give me a morsel of bread was the first thing. Now he's saying, I want you to go and do me a Mr. Kipling's cake. Come on, this is how I read the Bible. It's like this is where it starts to come alive. It's like, what you were asking before was too much. Now you're asking for a cake. We're doing another bake-off this year. Some of you will be pleased to know Jane is not entering this year. Just to give everybody else an opportunity of winning. I have the best cake maker in the church, in my opinion. No, I'm not entering anyway. So, bake me a small cake. He wasn't greedy. Bake me a small cake and bring it to me first, and afterwards make some for yourselves and your son. We know how this story, she's living it real time. She must have been in almost in two minds. What is he doing? Why is he doing this to me? And yet at the same time, I am not going to let fear come in. I am going to do all that the man of God has told me to do. Then Elisha begins to prophesy. Then it's only when he gets the cake, he sees her obedience, he sees that she's not operating in fear. In 1 Kings 17, verse 14, for thus says the Lord God of Israel. He's prophesying. For thus says the Lord God of Israel. Let me speak this over your life. The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor the jar of oil run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. Amen. And he starts to prophesy. I'll tell you what, when you begin to take a hold of the word and prophesy over your life, you start to declare God's word. When sickness hits and you lift up the word of God and prophesy healing over your life, and you declare the word of truth. You declare the power of the anointing over your life. You take the word of God and you take it for yourself and you stop the fear. But what if? That's fear speaking. Stop the fear and allow faith to flow. Go and bake the best cake you can. And that's exactly what she did. She chose to believe the word of God. Come on, what is it you're believing for in your life? What is it you need in the journey of your life right now? You need a breakthrough. You need a favor. You need a healing, a move of God. You need your children to have an encounter with God. What is it you're believing for? Take a hold of the word and start declaring it. Why? Because the Bible says he watches over his word to perform it. If the word of God is not being released, he has nothing to work with. But when the word of God is being released, he watches over it to perform it in our life. It's powerful. She made up her mind that if God said it, it settles it. It's got to be true. I want you to notice that the seed of her provision was already in her hand. She had the flour and she had the oil. She had the natural ingredients, but she didn't have God's super on her natural. But you give it to God, you put your natural into the hands of God and allow his super, then you have a supernatural encounter where anything is possible. That's why we present ourselves to him. Naturally, physically, in my heart, Lord, I present. I love the songs that we sang this morning. I just yield to you. I present my life. I present the natural and believe for the super upon my life. When I give, or when we give, it is money. It comes out of my bank account. It is a tithe of all our increase. We give it unto the Lord. I present our natural. Guess what I believe for? His super on my natural. That's how increase happens. Let me take you back feeding the 5,000. We have 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's all we have. We may feed a few, is what they said. They're natural. God's super. They fed 5,000 men besides the women and the children. Come on. What are we believing for? Who do we believe in? I want to see God's super on our natural. This is all I can do. But I trust for your touch upon my life. A couple of weeks' time, we're going to be praying for people and laying hands, anointing with oil, and just believing for the super of God's the super of God on our natural. I can lay hands on you. I can pray for you. I can slap oil all over your head. But none of that is going to work unless God's super is on the natural. But I'm believing for God's super. His spiritual touch, his release of the anointing, watching over his word in this room, healing, delivering, setting free, positioning, drawing, and releasing the power of God in this place. Seed of provision was already in her hand. Whatever, I believe very often, whatever you're believing God to do, the seed of that thing is already in your life. Tracy and Alistair, the seed of what you're believing God to do is already in your heart. You just need to see his super on your natural. Your natural endeavors, your ability to think and plan and get all that's necessary, but you need his super on that for it to be an incredible thing where lives are touched and changed. Or else we're just doing things in the natural, and we are not just natural people. We are spiritual people. Carries on. 1 Kings 17, verse 15 and 16. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and her household, sorry, let me read that again because I've missed it in my head so many times. Verse 15. So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. The supernatural became an everyday occurrence. This wasn't a one moment, you know, the bin of flour and the oil, oh, it's all happened, we built this, we've got this great big cake, we'll just eat from that one big cake. No, they did. It was an everyday. Give us this day our daily bread. If that's not a super, that should be a daily supernatural occurrence. Give us this day our daily bread. Not just a one-off moment where the word of the Lord, it was an initial miracle moment that then was outworked every day until the end of the famine. In every one of our lives, the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. In other words, what are you saying? Whatever your need, I'm here to provide. Because this is my daily bread over your life. His provision, his touch, his power on our lives. I love the fact that the events keep going. I know I'm running out of time. The events keep going. He eventually, he's stayed in the house for I don't know how long. And there's, have I got time? Now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. Okay? It's just seeing miracles breaking out in the house, seeing God's provision day after day after day. Like I say, we can have famine moments. We can have, I've got a flour and I've got oil and I've got sticks and we're going to die. We can go through these moments and then all of a sudden something else happens. I don't know if you've experienced that, but I have. And now her son is sick. And the Bible says he's so sick that there is no breath left in him. In other words, he's died. Tragedy hits the home. It's like the woman cries out to the man of God, I looked after you, I provided for you, and you've brought this tragedy upon my house. Do you know what Elijah did? He said, give me your son. And he takes her son into his arms. He takes him back. Remember, he was to dwell in her house. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our hearts. Something incredible was about to happen. He takes a son and he lays him on his bed where he dwells in the upper room of the house. And he lays down on the boy three times. Jesus was in the belly of the earth 3 days, 3 nights. Jonah was in the belly of the earth 3 days, in the fish, 3 days, 3 nights. He lays on this child three times. And on the third occasion, the breath of life returned to his soul. Was this whole event about the man of God being fed? Was this whole event about this woman having, this widow having food and oil and provision? Or was this assignment of Elijah's to go to Zarephath for a moment when this boy was going to die? He raises this boy up from the dead, presents him back to the mum, and then she turns around and says, let me quote it. Then the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth is true. And I look at that and I think, Jesus, you did this and you did it far more. He provided until the end of the drought. Jesus says, you can have daily bread. Come to me, all ye who thirst, and I will give you rivers of living water. We no longer have to thirst. Why? Because the Holy Spirit now lives within. We no longer have to go hungry spiritually because we have the Word of God, which is the bread of life. But I'll tell you what, the thing that makes all this come to make sense is that when we give our life over to Jesus, old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new and we become new creations. We have new life breathed into us and we become a living being. Exactly what took place in this child's life. But he became a living soul. It was only until Jesus came that the spirit could be made alive. I think it's incredible. The manifestation of miracles. We live in this day. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you may not experience that. You may have experienced something that feels strange, something you can't put into words. Our neighbor turns around and said, I go home from being in church with you and I feel so different. It's fantastic. But she's not saved yet. But she knows the presence of God because she feels different. But feeling different's not going to get you to heaven. It's being different, having that transformation of your life. And as we close this morning, I want to give you the opportunity where you allow God to do miracles in your life, where you connect to Him and your life will never be the same. So church, we're going to pray. Let's pray it nice and loud together this morning. There may be just one person, there may be two or three in the room and you're just connecting back to God. But we're going to pray this morning because we do it every week and we see responses most weeks. So let's pray this nice and loud after me. Father, I come to you and I recognize that it's only you that can change my life. I've tried. I've failed. But today, Jesus, I open my heart and I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Forgive my sin. Come into my heart. Give me a brand new life. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While every head is bowed, every eye closed. Come on, if you prayed that, if you meant that, why not connect to God today and make your first response to Him as a response of faith? I'm going to ask you to pop up your hand. I'm going to count to three, and then I'm going to ask you to pop up your hand just to acknowledge that you are receiving Him today in your heart. One, two, three. If you prayed that prayer, just pop up your hand. Thank you. I see that hand. I see that hand. Is there anybody else in the room? You're saying, yeah, I want Jesus to be so real in my life. I'm committing my life to Him. Is there anybody else in this room? I'm going to count down from five. Five, four, three, two. There's a place in the Bible called the Valley of Decision. You may be in that moment right now. You don't know whether to or not to. You should and you shouldn't. Your heart's thumping, but you don't know what to do with it. Come on, we've got 2 seconds left. Is that you? Is that you? Two, one. Father, I thank you. Lord, you know the hearts that have responded this morning, and I thank you. We celebrate and we give you praise for what you're doing in their lives. Father, for the rest of us, Lord, help us to walk in faith filled obedience. Lord, that when you say stop the fear, every morning when we wake up, Lord, we will be faith filled instead of fear filled. And Father, I thank you that you are for us and not against us. We give you praise for your word this morning. Continue to speak to us through your word, I pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. 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 And thank you.